Okay.
Strangle
well.
You. This is why we cannot do a podcast in person, Catherine, because I would strangle you.
I could. That'd be fine. If the,
oh,
if
Jesus.
It would, I don't mean that.
Do you know how much effort that would require?
I know.
Have you ever strangled anyone?
Never. I don't
it's
touch people
just,
if I don't have to.
It's a lot of effort because you got to choke them until they're unconscious, and then you can't stop because then they'll just, if you stop when they're unconscious and you release, they'll start breathing again.
You know way too much about this.
And you know, my hand, I already have slightly arthritic hands, so that would just be really, that's too much. You're asking way too much of me, Catherine. As usual, I do all the editing and now I have to do all the murdering.
I know. Just say no to murder. Okay.
Well,
so,
I don't know, Catherine. Are you high this time?
No, I'm tired this time.
Well, you were high last time, weren't you?
Well, the fumes in this, I don't know what, I don't remember last time. No, I don't remember.
You were high.
No, I should say, I don't remember the time prior when the tile guy was here that it smelled like that. And I don't know if there was something wrong with the concrete in that one room and he had to seal it with some different stuff, but man, alive.
Oh, sealer's good stuff. Ooh, yeah.
It was bad. I had a wicked, wicked headache the rest of that night.
Well,
and this house was airing out pretty good.
When you have the sealants, you're going to have to pay the piper. So Catherine was high. That's the first piece of follow-up.
Yes,
but the most important piece of follow-up is that we really threw Senator Markowski under the bus based on a video clip that we saw. That video clip turns out to have been not altered, but clipped in a way that made her look like a coward. And that was a disservice to her because the full clip said even though she was scared of the repercussions and the retaliation from the Trump administration, she was still talking out. She would still, even though she did not like it and was scared by it, she continued to hold her ground. Mm-hmm. So we apologize to Senator Markowski. And I should say that anyone else who dogpiled her and everyone on Blue Sky dogpiled her.
They did.
Oh boy, Blue Sky. Should apologize to her as well. And I guess even after 25 years of stupid videos like this circulating on the internet, it's taken that long for me to finally just not believe any video that I see.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to get worse.
Well, not for me, because I just won't believe it anymore.
Okay.
And I don't think it was going to get any worse. It's just the same old playbook. And this is the left doing it. So anyway, it's not, I don't want to spend the entire podcast on that. But and then we were talking about Doge last week.
Right.
And I think it's worth pointing out, though, it's the same Republican playbook that we've seen for 30 or 40 years now, where they go in and they actively try to defund and break government and then point out, oh, look, it doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't work because you just broke it.
Right.
So they want to replace it with private equity and private services, which is, you know, way more wasteful.
Mm-hmm.
And has much less scrutiny. The reason that we think government is so broken is because it's completely transparent and we get to look at it and there are reports on it and then we can see all the mistakes they make. If you did that with in the private sector, you would be aghast at all the nonsense that goes on and the weight, the unbelievable. I've been in all kinds of companies, small, big, and medium, international, national, local, whatever. You name it, I've been there. They are all just horribly badly managed. There's just so much waste and stupidity that goes on in there that you just don't see in government because there's oversight.
Anyway.
I'm ranting already.
You are. You're just on a roll today.
I feel like I am now a radical liberal, which in today's political landscape seems like the only rational response because I am an American to my core and the founding fathers were the radical liberals of their day, fighting
they
tyranny.
They were, weren't they? Mm-hmm.
Fighting tyranny from afar. Unfortunately, we're fighting tyranny right up close from our fellow countrymen.
Mm-hmm. And it's painful. I wasn't built to fight tyranny.
It's not fun. You know, you'd rather be buying sewing machines, right?
I'd rather be doing anything
than
worrying about the tyrannical bent of this country that's happening. So, yeah, that's my take.
Self-inflicted. That's the worst part of it. It's self-inflicted.
Yeah, none of this needed to happen. And instead of breaking things and tearing shit down, and, you know, I'd like to see something good come of something. I've not seen anything positive. What is positive? Where's the warm fuzzies? There are no warm fuzzies.
Well, you don't have to have a warm fuzzy. You just have to
have
some kind
of...
Okay, well, maybe you do. I'm just saying that positive things, good that are long-term benefits, don't always necessarily feel good in the immediate. term.
Uh-huh.
But there's nothing that coming out of this administration that is either short-term benefit or long-term benefit.
That's what I'm saying, James. That's what I'm saying.
It's a double whammy.
Double whammy.
Oh, boy. I'm sorry. I said earlier that we had that other piece was the most important follow-up. No. This next follow-up.
This is it, yeah.
This mea culpa, mea culpa. I really messed up that quote from Ricky Bobby. And total misrepresentation. Totally stepping back and apologizing for this. Quote, second mm-hmm. place is just the first loser was not a Ricky Bobby quote. That was from the eminent Dale Earnhardt Jr., senior. There is a junior and senior. They're different people.
Mm-hmm.
What Ricky Bobby said was, if you're first, you're last.
If you're not first, you're last.
If I want to misquote him again, No, I'm sorry. Thank you. if you're not first, you're last.
Yes.
What did I say? If you're first, you're last?
Yes.
Well,
that actually could be good.
Well, in today's political arena, the last person who should be president is the first president.
Mm-hmm.
Or the last president. I don't know. I butchered that. I can cut that shit out. Anyway.
You want to start again?
No.
Okay.
It's a little disappointing because last week we were so perfect and we're not perfect anymore.
Well, that's okay because, you know, life goes on.
Life goes on after death, apparently.
You sent me this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I already am not sleeping well. And I have some real thoughts about this, but why don't you tell the folks what's going
on? When you're dead, we won't let you sleep either.
Oh, God.
It's hard to believe this is real, but this mm-hmm. is actually, quote, an art installation. Yes, we're talking about art again.
Yay.
No, not really. Okay. So in Australia,
mm-hmm.
there's this art exhibit.
Yes.
And the art exhibit starts with recreating brain cells from a dead musician. So they take his white blood cells, they mm-hmm. force them to become stem cells, and they force mm-hmm. those stem cells to become brain cells. So they grow them in a little petri dish, and now they can grow them so that they can combine several. It's not just one cell. It's what's called an organoid. God, I don't
organoid.
Think
I just I couldn't. Did they make that up?
No, that's organoid is a genuine term. It's when you have a cluster of cells that you've grown from nothing. It's more than one cell, and it's starting to become something. Like you can have an organoid, they have these little eyeballs that are like proto eyeballs. They're not fully formed, but they start to have some of the separate structures. It's an organoid. Organoid. I can't say the word. Anyway.
Organoid.
Thank you. Organoid.
Right.
So they start with that. They've created a clump of brain cells. They've connected. They're very imprecise about this terminology. They didn't describe it very well, but it sounds like they've plugged in an input electrode and an output electrode. So mm-hmm. they're putting stimuli into it and then recording stimuli out of it.
Right.
And it's, quote, playing music. The organelle is creating electrical impulses, which it's reading and then connecting to a bell, and it bangs the bell. Based on the outputs it's getting from the brain cells.
So this is at the Art Gallery of Western Australia, right?
I don't know. Somewhere in Australia. I just genuinely, I was relieved that it wasn't anywhere near me because I'm not joking when I say I really would have struggled. If it was anywhere near me, I would have struggled with genuinely going over there and destroying it because I think this is the most horrific thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, these structures mimicking the part of the human brain. And in the article, it said there are 20 wall-mounted brass plates that actually sends sound ringing through the room. And they're saying it's controlled by a combination of man and machine. I think the man is a little bit tenuous, but who was the artist?
I don't remember. The musician, he knew this was going to happen. He died.
Yes.
He died a few years ago.
He died in 2021, right.
He gave his blood cells for this process, uh-huh. And he was kind of a rule breaker his whole musical right. life.
Alvin Lucier.
Thank you. One of the many horrific quotes from the article is this first one I'll give you is, quote, although this mini brain obviously lacks the complex consciousness of a 90-year-old artist, neurologists and biologists have pondered what the lived experience of brain organoids might be like, even wondering if these simple biological creations possess a kind of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
That is possibly the most unethical statement I've ever read in my life. They think maybe it has consciousness, but they don't have any idea what that consciousness is. And what if that consciousness is like screaming pain? Like what if it's just a horrific experience for whatever consciousness that it's occurring in that little clump of cells, human brain cells?
I know there was a picture in the first article that you sent me of like the mesh and the organoid is like kind of growing over the mesh.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of a Doctor Who episode where there was a girl who was existing in a room, and then they go in the room and she couldn't kind of like leave this room, but she was happy in a room, was pretty. And I think it was Doctor Who. And so when they went to the source, found the source, this girl had died years before and her father didn't want to lose her. So he stretched her skin and her face. And it looked like that freaking thing on the organoid. That's what it reminded me of. I saw that picture and I thought of this episode because the end like scene where you see this like face and her eyes, and that was really her, but her consciousness existed in this other place. And she thought she was a little girl in this pretty room, you know, doing whatever. It was absolutely one of the most horrifying Doctor Who episodes I've ever seen. And I looked at all the episodes. It was from the new Who, you know, not the old one, the ones that started in 2002. And I can't remember who the Doctor was playing. And I just couldn't find it. And the synopsis. And sometimes there's like three or four episodes commingled. And, you know, it was too much. And it was like 4 a.m. And I still can't figure it out. But it was just really, really...
distressing, right?
Yeah. And that's what it looked like to me. So why do you find it horrifying? Because I have some thoughts.
The fact that they just don't even consider the reality of this clump of cells, human brain cells, could actually be. Like, imagine one of the worst punishments a human can get is solitary confinement.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this a thousand times worse than that? It's not only just putting a human in a room, it's removing all sensory perception.
Mm-hmm.
How are they feeding these things? Because these things, they need nutrients to exist. So what if it's being overfed or underfed? What kind of experience is that? And then they're basically, quote, inputs are shocking. They're shock, right? It's electrical input. Mm-hmm. Well, you're shocking this thing.
Right. There were other experiments I read in a different article that they would, I don't think it was this one per se, but it was like they'd feed it dopamine. And so they didn't know if it would be like happier or sadder if it didn't get it. And can you
like
imagine crashing off of dopamine?
They're literally taking a human brain and running experiments on it without having any idea how it feels about it.
Under the guise of an art exhibit. And so,
oh my God.
You know, I found it horrifying. And then I got really curious about why I was having that response. And for me, it was really, I think it tapped into the uncertainty of death. And the scariness of creating, you know, like what you said, it amounts to a trapped consciousness with no means for it to truly communicate in words and has zero control over it just existing. And the only way that would end it is to end the experiment. And I've had a big fear, I think, my whole life of like after-death experiences. It's like, what if we're just kind of quasi-existing in some dreamlike state with no way out? That's been, I mean, it gives me chills right now just talking about it. And so I don't think there's any merit to this experiment.
Well, it's not an experiment. It's like torture. And it's...
right.
We talk about it in horror, and it's called living death.
Right.
And this is not something that generally is considered to be a good thing. You generally want to avoid that at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not dead and you're not alive. You're in this...
Mm-hmm.
Zombies are depicted, when a little bit more thought is given to them, they're always depicted as being suffering greatly. Like, being a zombie is just a horrible state to be in. It's worse, you know, it's maybe, I don't know what's worse, being the victim of a zombie or being a zombie, but they're, you know, it's just...
Either way.
I can't comprehend how human beings can do this. I really can't.
I can't comprehend
it's
the
so
need
unethical
to do this.
And irresponsible.
Yeah. It is. And that's why I said, I don't know.
No, I get the impetus. Like, it's like playing with science. Like, ooh, what is that? Yeah, okay, like mad scientists do. This is like literally what mad scientists do.
Right.
That are the villains in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
This is Frankenstein.
It is. It's gross.
And it's not the monster the monster is not the real bad guy in Frankenstein. It's Frankenstein, because he's doing it. He's the one doing this shit.
Yes.
And the fact that they can't see that they're Frankensteins, I don't understand. I don't understand how you can be a human being and not have any humanity for what it means to be human.
Well, I think you've tapped into the core of my distaste for this whole situation, is that my question is, like, how much do we really understand, like currently understand, about actual consciousness? And so if we don't really grasp that, then how are we able to understand the manipulation of brain cells to try to recreate consciousness? And so therein lies the rub for me. It's just like a non-starter for me. Maybe they think it's cool to jab this organ null thing, organoid.
Human brain. Let's just call it human brain.
Yeah, it's a human brain. And there are multiple things around, you know, but they plugged into mushrooms, they plugged into plants, and vibrations can create noise, sound, whatever. Yeah, this takes it a little bit too far.
That whole point is also suspect as to they claim it's is it making music? Well, I don't think so. My disgust is compounded by the stupid questions that they ask. And this is another quote from the article. Quote, The central question we want to ask is, could there be a filament of memory that persists through the biological transformation? So you take the blood, you create stem cells, and then you create brain cells from that. And they think somehow the memory of the artist will be preserved through that. What are you people on right now? Mm-hmm. Stop it right now. You people don't deserve to be anywhere near any kind of scientific equipment.
In terms of cellular memory, I know there has been some work done on cellular memory. Years ago, I read about like transplant patients having different, and it's not like the hand went weird, like in some movie about a trans, you know, none of that. But there was one thing that stuck in my mind. Someone woke up from their transplant. I don't know what was transplanted. Just say it's a lung or whatever. They could smell and taste French fries. And they're like, I don't even eat French fries. I couldn't, you know, on this special diet, whatever. And the donor had been killed in a motorcycle accident. And there was a little thing of McDonald's French fries in the jacket of his motorcycle jacket.
You need a lot of instances of that to suggest that there's actually a correlation. It could just be
right. I'm not saying that, but I just thought it was interesting. But there were like multiple stories of weird things like that, and so maybe there is something, maybe there isn't. But it's even more horrifying if there is. To your point, I really. You know.
If there is some connected consciousness, I think you're right. There are examples of weird shit happening in the brain, and there is I don't know if we talked about this or on this podcast or on heat stroke podcast, but there is evidence of generational, not necessarily memory, but implications. Like they showed in the populations that had, you know, if your great grandparents had survived or had to go through a severe famine, that has like a genetic impact on the grandchildren. Like they express their genes. It's not that the genes change, but there are a lot of genes we have and most of them are not used. But if you turn some of them on, then suddenly you get a different response.
Look at so, genetic memory.
Almost. Like these keys get handed down from generation to generation and they turn on different gene aspects. So it's not as clear as one individual lives, they die, another individual is born. It's a completely separate entity. No, we all have some connection to our past.
Yes.
Our progenitors. And how we live and how we're affected is going to impact our descendants as well in some ways. Anyway, that was the heavy stuff. I think we'll just lighten it up a little bit by looking at dumb crypto stuff now. Still
okay,
stupid, still very stupid, but stupid on this is totally harmless or the harm is all self-inflicted.
Okay.
BBC, the article is, I was careful and followed instructions closely, but still lost my crypto. Poor guy, I mean, has been dabbling in crypto for years and then he bought some and then he was trying to transfer it over to another crypto to actually get his money out. And the problem is there are so many different crypto platforms. It's not just like one thing. It's not just Bitcoin. There are just endless streams of people doing their own crypto stuff. And mostly because it's such a great place to steal people's money. I mean, you know, hassle them out of their money.
Steal people's money.
Yeah. And he followed the instructions and it was like saying, you know, make sure you use this transaction mode with this name to get to be able to transact it. Because we're not compatible with all different types of crypto. And he accidentally chose one that was slightly different. And in so doing, he was able to transmute his crypto from one type of crypto to another type of crypto, but it was a crypto that the platform he was using was not compatible with. So it just basically kind of disappeared. It's still there. It's like the memory of crypto. Like the platform he's working on can't really interact with it. It can see that it's there, but it can't. So it's basically lost. And they said they can't do anything about it. Well, it's in the form we can't use. And now that's in that form, we can't interact with it at all. So we can't fix it. We can't turn back the hands of time and make it back to what it was. And we can't convert it to anything else. So, sorry, but that $1,500 that you had tied up there is gone.
So you pay real money for this virtual experience and then they lose it and you're just out of money.
Yes.
Okay. So I guess I do understand crypto.
It's like any other scam.
It feels like a scam.
The funny thing is, though, that they have an expert chime in. He depicts exactly how this occurred and mm-hmm. the mistake that the first guy made. He points out the mistake the first guy made and is, yes, it was an easy mistake to make, but if he'd been more careful, this wouldn't have happened. And this expert goes on to say he himself, the expert, has also lost money in similar mm-hmm. mechanisms, mm-hmm. but it's still safe to use.
I would stay so far away from this.
It's like I juggle grenades and I blew one of my hands off, but it's still safe to play with grenades. Totally safe.
Oh, it's crazy.
Oh, man. I try to feel sorry for them, but it's hard. It's hard to feel sorry for them.
Yeah. I.
When you say you don't understand crypto, I think you're overthinking it. I think you're looking for meaning in some place that there is no meaning.
I guess I'm more of a tactile person. Like if I have money, I want to see it and feel it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you regularly have this problem where you try to figure something out that is not really compatible with being figured out, and then you get confused. So you think it's a failing of yourself for not figuring out the thing that doesn't make sense right. to begin with. Okay, but it's not you who has the failing here.
Okay.
If it doesn't make sense, Catherine, to you, maybe it's because it just doesn't
it
make
just
sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Give yourself more credit.
Okay.
There should be a Catherine test. Like if Catherine can't figure it out, it's probably bullshit.
Doesn't Trump have a crypto coin?
He's had at least one. He does coins. He does other crypto stuff. It's all scams. You know, they blow up for half a minute, and then you know if you don't sell it within 30 minutes of it being minted, you lose all your money.
Oh my god!
It's just a way for foreign governments to give him money.
I see. The whole thing. It just ugh. That's just crazy.
What else is crazy? Catherine.
Google's crazy.
It's been obvious to me for 15 or 20 years that Google mm-hmm. has been doing some anti-competitive nonsense, monopolistic mm-hmm. nonsense in the background.
Right.
Well, they finally got caught. Well, they're not finally got caught, but they finally got a judgment rule against them saying, yeah, guys, you can't do that anymore. You know, this is nonsense. Your anti-competitive behavior is illegal and you need to, we got to figure out what we're going to do here. How do we remedy this?
Mm-hmm.
That's the government asking that question.
Right, right.
One line from Google made me laugh out loud when I read it the first time. And in this quote that I'm about to read, the plaintiff okay. is the government. The plaintiffs are the government. The government is the plaintiff in this case. Mm-hmm. And so this is Google saying, quote, the plaintiff's unprecedented array of proposed remedies would harm consumers and innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Google is essentially an ad company, so we'll be losing innovation in advertising. Like, I don't know what that even means. Like, I hate advertising. I want to mm-hmm. see less of it. The only innovation I can think of would be to just turn it off. The ads have just gotten worse over the past 20 years. So whatever innovation Google is trying to sell me, I don't like. It's not good for me. I'm the consumer. I don't like it. If they could stop it, if the government mm-hmm. could stop this, quote, innovation, I would be all for it. That would be amazing. Imagine the web with fewer, less intrusive ads, Catherine. Can you do that?
No, I can't. I'm so tired of ads. I really am. But the rest of that quote is said, as well as future competition in search and search ads, in addition to numerous other adjacent markets. So they're still trying to protect the ad revenue source. I mean, it's a revenue source, right?
Well, that's what they are. They sell ads. That's what Google is. It's nothing else. It is just an ad business.
Or there was one podcast where you outlined a lot of things that Google has retired.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so this seems to be in line with what they've become, and now they're getting called on the carpet for what they've become, an ad
generation. Well, they've always been, but the fact that they've also been using their monopoly, because they have a monopoly in online mm-hmm. ads. They've been using it to stifle competitors.
Mm-hmm.
And, good Lord, it goes back a decade. And if I was a real journalist, I would have gone back and compiled all the really egregious things they've done over the years to quash competition in the ad space. Mm-hmm. Like there, no other ad networks are allowed to grow.
Okay.
A lot of people know Google through Gmail and Google Chrome. Google Chrome being their web browser is one of the probably the more popular products they have. And there's also Android, mm-hmm. which is an operating mm-hmm. system, or theoretically mm-hmm. an operating system. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of the last time a big US tech company got in trouble for anti-competitive monopoly practices. And that was Microsoft back in the 90s mm-hmm. when they took Internet Explorer and basically forced computer makers not to install Netscape Navigator, the competitor.
Right, I remember that.
People won't remember this, but this was the deal. Back in the day, Microsoft said they were going to charge companies extra if they install, like Dell. They told Dell, if you install Netscape Navigator, we're going to charge more money. We're going to charge you more for mm-hmm. Windows. So it literally cost them money. Dell would later have to pay more money to install another piece of software.
Nice.
But that was like the height of anti-competitive. And the irony,
yes,
Catherine, is Internet Explorer is no more.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft Edge, which is Microsoft's current, I think it's mm-hmm. their current one, whatever they call it today.
I have no idea.
Microsoft's current browser is mm-hmm. based on Chrome.
Oh, a lot of things are, aren't they?
It's basically just Chrome. Yes. Well, and the irony there is that that was originally based on Safari. Apple made an open source browser called WebKit mm-hmm. or technology called WebKit, which is what mm-hmm. Safari is built on. And Chrome initially was built off of WebKit as well. After several years, Google forked WebKit into Chromium.
Okay.
Which is Chrome.
Okay.
It's basically based on Safari, though.
Oh, I use Safari, pretty much Safari.
It's ironic now, because if you think back at the animosity between Apple and Microsoft, Microsoft is now basically using mm-hmm. Apple's browser.
I just like Apple. I just use all my stuff as Apple, and I just like it.
Yeah, it's good. When it works.
It's fine.
It works more than it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. 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 Well, that was a nice update, James. Thank you. We'll have to follow the story.
It was very nerdy kind of
Yeah,
update.
It was kind of nerdy. Yeah, I have to admit, but it's okay. It's okay. So what else are we going to talk about today? Because everything I sent to you, I just had second thoughts about it. And again, it's just like my litany of what else happened this week. And I sent multiple articles. Maybe we can just link them in the show notes if people want to read it for education purposes if it didn't come across
there. Yeah,
their
I guess we can have a second
line of thought.
We can have a series of show notes that we didn't cover. Because there are a lot of yeah. weeks we do not, most weeks we do not cover everything we
We don't cover to. Everything because I can't get, I just don't want to talk about this stuff right now
yeah.
because, you know, what about the American refugees?
Yeah, you sent me a lot of depressants.
Yeah, it was like, because that's where I'm at, I think. It's like, I want, you know, you look at the stuff and you're reading. I just can't believe this shit is happening in our country. You know, the fact that Americans are literally fleeing states for safety, you know, fleeing across state lines for safety.
I wish.
Becoming American refugees.
I wish that was new,
I just
though.
Find that.
You know, that has happened for a long time. There's a certain group of people in the South mm-hmm. who kept moving north because they were persecuted in the South.
Oh, I hear that. I hear that.
Obviously, I'm talking about Christians. No.
Yeah.
Well,
slaves. I guess there was that sect of Christian. Yeah, slaves, of course. Yeah. Now it's like teachers and women and trans people, you know, and then this whole thing with the autism study.
Oh, my God.
RFK collecting Americans' private medical records, and HIPAA does not protect you, folks. It does not protect you.
I can't. Honestly, every day, I just don't think this guy could be any dumber, and he proves that I'm wrong. I guess I'm the dumb one for thinking that RFK can't get dumber than he already is.
Well, I don't know if it's being stupid or silly or wily.
Oh, it's totally stupid. He's stupid because he simply does not understand any of the things that he's talking about.
But he really believes it, and he's in a position of power to force this stuff. I mean, this is all based on, you know, his anti-vax mentality and you know, everything that was debunked about autism. But what confounds me even more is the fact that there would be a registry created. And I think that should set off alarm bells, because what other registry should be created?
What's the point of doing the registry in the first place?
Well, the quote-unquote loophole that they...
I don't loophole schmoophole. What would there is no valid point for making a registry of people with autism. It's like, why are we going to make a registry of people with cancer?
The point he's trying to make is that this is a disease process that needs to be studied. And that's the reason they can dig into private records and HIPAA won't help you.
And he was saying that it's something that they're too scared to ask questions. The research, it's like literally... The debunking immediately happened. They pointed out there were 5,000 studies last year on autism.
Right.
This is why he's stupid. Like, he's got evidence, overwhelming amounts of evidence to show that he's just wrong. He refuses to accept it. He starts with his own narrative for whatever reason, because I think he likes to be contrarian. That's a big thing. People, it feels great to be contrarian. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, everyone's wrong. I'm the right one. I'm the one who's right. That's a great feeling. It's mm-hmm. like a dopamine hit.
Right. Well, and when the contrarian hits science and hits like health issues, that's where, as a, you know, a former healthcare professional, I just really get to the point where I can't tolerate it. And there was a person in my life who really thought this guy was, you know, just the the be-all, end-all.
He is. He will be the end of us all.
Yes. I mean, and for the first time, I mean, measles is having a resurgence. I literally read the word endemic yesterday. You know, this is just nonsense, and I'm tired of it. That's why I didn't want to talk about it in any length. We'll just link the show notes. And, you know, the State Department changing its mind about what it refers to as human rights. You know, these deportations happening, them just thumbing their nose at the judiciary. It's too much. It's too much in a week.
It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. And it makes me wonder, really, I want to curse.
What the fork?
What the fork? Yeah, there you go. You said it for me. What was wrong with this country that we have to go in and tear down decades and decades of structure and research and expertise? I don't understand it. I don't understand why.
The problem under Biden was that our health outcomes are getting better. Our economy was getting better.
Right.
Our military was getting stronger. Everything was trending upwards.
Right.
And, I don't know why you'd want to stop any of that. I mean, okay, we had a little bit of inflation, but compared to the rest of the world, it was nothing. And also, that inflation was directly created, basically, to avert a recession, which we completely did.
Right.
For the first time in history, a president was able to avert a recession. That's historic. People talk about how his legacy. Everybody's talking about how Biden's legacy is going to be, he ducked out too late. That's the only thing people are going to remember. I think real historians are going to look back and say, holy cow, that guy actually avoided a recession for the first time in history.
Right.
That's pretty historic.
Right.
Amongst other things.
And a lot of the economic situation was a direct result of the pandemic that was poorly mishandled by Trump's first administration. And no one wants to, you know, it's like that didn't happen. I guess no one died of COVID. Nothing happened there, man.
Well, it was not Trump, really. The pandemic was going to happen.
The pandemic was the pandemic. And then there was the managing of the pandemic. It's two different things.
There was going to be an economic downturn regardless.
Right.
Right. So you can't blame everything on Trump.
Where were we going with this?
I don't know. So things had been trending upward for a long time.
Yes.
Now they're not. Uh-huh. But I think there's one simple trick, one weird thing you can do.
What?
To make everything right again.
What?
Aside from turning MAGA, of course. Apparently, if you just put a glass of water by your bedside table, you can fix everything, right?
Yeah, that's what decor is saying. Why you should place a glass of water on your nightstand each night. It offers a complete guide to energetically cleaning your newly renovated home. I was very interested in this because of all of the renovation I'm doing.
Oh, I get it now. Okay, I see.
Yeah, so it says you have to air out your home and then you do a spiritual cleansing. And you clean your entryway. Basically, you clean your house, clean your kitchen. It's like, I don't see anything.
Yeah, so where's the water come in? When you sent me that, I couldn't read it because it was locked on Apple. So I assumed, like a normal, sane person, I only saw the headline of the article, which says, as you said, why you should be placing a glass of water on your nightstand each night.
Right.
And I said, that's got to be a hydration. Yes, everybody knows that. And no, that had nothing to do with it whatsoever. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's all these.
So you're not. Yeah. Are you allowed to drink the water?
No, because it's mixed with vinegar. Does that ruin? Like for example, like every room has its own energy reset, and some of work with cycles of the moon. And so you can place during the waning phase. Say if you wanted to cleanse your bedroom space during the waning phase of the moon, you place a glass of water mixed with white vinegar and 3 pinches of salt on your nightstand.
Why are these words coming out of your mouth right now? I don't understand what you're saying. Do you have any idea how close to MAGA you are right now? This is literally, you are doing to your home what MAGA is doing to our country.
A lot of it just has to do with like water and vinegar, which I used to clean anyway. And so this was just, I was looking for something light
Catherine,
and fluffy.
I can't anymore. I'm done. I can't, you've broken me. I can't deal with MAGA on the country all day coming in on Fridays and telling me about this crazy nonsense for your house. You're MAGA-ing my house.
I just need to clean this house.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to go mix up some vinegar.
I got to call it. I can't do it anymore.
Okay.
Bye.